Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me now. Stop fire.
Jamaica, y'all. Come on. You preachers, stop preaching what you teach. Teach the truth. Wake up, preachers.
Be the glory for this awesome and wonderful Monday night. Grateful and thankful to still yet be amongst the living. Thanking God once again for your presence here tonight on the Blog Talk Radio show as we speak about oneness, about gentleness. We thank God for your presence. We just thank God once again for him allowing you to have your schedule to be free to be here with us. My name is Tammy Storr. We will be joined by Minister Jesse Storr, thanking God in advance for his ministry gifts and allowing him to speak on this awesome and wonderful topic. Oneness is about gentleness. We all understand and know that it is very important for us to be able to express and show gentleness in all relationships, not just marriage, but in all relationships. So we just hope tonight is a night that you come and you're prepared to learn and grow and prepared to share, even through transparency, with others that may be listening tonight. If you desire to share with us tonight, please press 1 on your phone at the appropriate time. Minister Jesse will give you an opportunity to come forward and speak what's on your heart. We're always grateful and thankful to hear you and your comments. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for another wonderful evening. Thank you for an opportunity, Lord God, to allow us to be able to come together in oneness and be able to declare and decree right now, Lord God, that you are our source, and we will continue to lean and depend on you. We will continue to understand, Lord God, without you, we are nothing. But with you, we can do all things through you, Christ Jesus, that strengthens us. And that's even being able to recognize how important it is to be gentle in our relationships. So I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would order our steps and give us the ability to use wisdom in all that we do. I thank you that tonight you'll give us the opportunity to be able to come forward and be able to share through transparency what it means, Lord God, to show gentleness in our relationships. I thank you, Lord God, that you will continue to allow each and every one of us an opportunity to be able to continue to go forward in this wonderful life and understand and know what we must do to be the best individuals on this side of heaven that we can possibly be. I pray right now, Lord God, for every marriage that's represented on this line tonight. I pray that you touch each and every one of us, give us the ability to go forward and do great things that you have in store for all of our marriages. I pray tonight for those that desire to be married that you will bless individuals to wait on you, Lord God, because we know you got this special soulmate waiting in the wind. I pray tonight that you would continue to go and give us the ability to recognize, know, and understand who we are in you. And let us be the best individuals on this side of heaven that we can possibly be. I continually pray for all of us, Lord God, that you allow all of us to continue to grow and be prosperous in all that we do. I love you so much, Lord God. And I continually pray for the man of the hour that you bless him with all that he shares and pours into us. Then I pray that you allow a thousandfold to be poured back into him for his abilities to share and give. Thank you once again for the time that I'm able to spend with him away for a little bit just to enjoy our oneness and be able to rekindle, Lord God, all of the things that we need to rekindle over the months and years that you've put us together, Lord God. And I just pray that you continue to order our steps and give us the ability to be the best spouse on this side of heaven. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Well, all right now, let everyone in agreement say amen. We thank God and give God our glory, honor, and praise on this evening, this beautiful July 19th in the year 2021. We thank God for allowing us to be yet still here on this side of heaven. It's a beautiful thing when each day you're given an opportunity to know that you're still on the team, meaning God has still work for you to do, and you have been assigned the task of going out and expanding the glory of the kingdom. And part of our call, what God has admonished us to do, is to share in the arena of marriage ministry. And I can tell you that it wasn't something that I went looking for. It was almost by God's own intervention in the element of default that we evolved into this particular ministry. I remember one time being asked by one of the elders in the church if my wife and I had ever considered doing a marriage class. And I said, no. And he said, well, you know, you ought to give that consideration because we kind of watch how you all teach together. We were teaching youth at the time. And, you know, we think you all would be really good at just sharing with others what makes it all work for you. And so Tammy agreed to go through some additional training, some training that I had already gone through. And out of that observation, we were then tapped and asked to come into the ministry of marriage. And I can't tell you how long it's been now. 15 years, 16 years, it's been a while, because we've been on this particular blog talk for 11 years, and this had occurred prior to then. And in all of that, one of the things that always has amazed me when you look at the dimensions contained in the fruit of the Spirit is that oneness will develop a high level of gentleness. And gentleness cannot be absent if you want to see oneness occur yourself. We live in a world that is so crazy. We live in a world that, for the most part, makes no sense. And the world that we live in, and we are really truthful about it, is not a world that allows us to really deal with the concept of gentleness. It's difficult to be drawn to that world of gentleness because it's so much pain and agony, and it's difficult sometimes for us to maintain an element of gentleness. We are taught to be too much emotion, especially some like us that we're men and may have grown up in different kind of dysfunctional family environments. And so we sometimes have a willingness or a tendency to downplay our own emotions. And this is what makes it more difficult for us to have the appropriate empathy and gentleness for others. Many of us learn how to mask our pain and, you know, based on our own life observations, in our personal realities. We now hear a lot of days about some of the things that are taking place in our world and some of the brutal attacks on individuals and people. And someone asks the question, you know, where is the concern for life, or where is the concern for just having a sense? We have movies that are played and backwards and forwards, and in many of those movies, while there may be a good guy, there's always a bad guy, even though the good guy may be doing things that are designed to undermine what the bad guy is doing, most of it and many of the activities that are executed are not activities of gentleness. Most of the time, they're activities that are designed to destroy. You see, in a marriage, we can't operate that way. And for many, let's say, black men growing up, there has been a little window, a very little window of being nice and gentle outside your family. Because, again, sometimes you got to put on this facade. You got to put on this, you know, this pretend. And you are expected to make right decisions, even though any decision you make in life, as we all know, it can cause you harm, even when you try to do that which is correct. In our families, most families can experience great pain, and the gentleness model is sometimes not available to us. If we're growing up in homes where there is no father than mother, or in single-parent homes, the right balance may not sometimes be made available to us. And even sometimes when we have women that are forced to raise up children, and especially to raise up that son, there may be some elements, and even in that reality, that may cause that son somewhere down the road to have a lack of proper gentleness. See, some of us have not experienced the playbook God wrote for mankind. And see, in the playbook that God wrote for mankind, the script had great levels of gentleness. But something happened. As sin entered into the mind and the spirit of man, his wild and wicked imagination amplified sinful intent and physical execution. Now think about it for a moment. The more even you and I, if we think about the things that we may be challenged with, the more we are engaged in those particular activities, the easier it will be. Maybe when you was growing up, or when I was growing up, there was something that we partook of, or something that we may have been involved in that we knew was not quite correct. And even though we knew it was not quite correct, we executed it anyway. And we know that as we began to do such a thing, it became easier to do. And oftentimes that which may have brought a level of pleasure to ourselves at the expense of someone else, we were then cultivating a lack of gentleness. See, the opposite of gentleness in the confines of marriage is any words or any actions designed to bring pain to your spouse. Now, I want you to think about this question. Have you ever premeditated an event you know would cause them pain? Now, don't raise your hand, but if you really sit down and you thought about doing something that was going to cause some pain and agony to another human being, or especially to your spouse. If you have, then trust me, that's not walking in gentleness. That's not walking with a level of empathy and concern. And if, in fact, you ever executed or implemented what you thought about in your mind that you knew was going to cause pain, that's another indication that at that moment you were being driven and you are being led by a spirit other than our Father God. You see, when we are honest with ourselves, all of us have had a moment or two, as we've said recently, where you may have had these thoughts that have come to your mind. But see, the mark of a a believer or the mark of someone who's searching that right level of understanding, that right level of empathy, that right level of gentleness, is that you learn that you got to cast down that type of vain imagination. Because that's an example of vain imagination attempting to exalt itself above the knowledge of who you now are in Christ Jesus. So see, we got to think about the word from a lot of different angles and perspectives. Sometimes you may look and read something and you get something from it. Well, if you can get something good from it, where it's going to increase or it's going to make it easier for you to think in terms of being a peacemaker and think in terms of operating with a level of gentleness, then you need to read that, you need to embrace it, you need to meditate it, and you need to know and understand how effective it can be in changing your life. On the other hand, when we learn to encourage with effective social skills, are then able to put ourselves in positions that we would not otherwise be able to. Let me give you an example. Sometimes it could be very easy to respond in the flesh to a spouse who has done something, maybe indirectly, didn't even know that what had taken place was in error. And even when something like that may happen, and now you see something has taken place that was in error, how do you respond to that situation? Do you respond as though you want to get into a fight? Or do you respond by perhaps asking a question? And the question that you're thinking about asking is improved understanding of what just took place. What happened? Why in the world did I say a certain thing and the response had so much hostility, had so much anger? And why did I allow that response to have that effect on me in the first place? Now, again, if we all are honest with ourselves, we all have experienced those kinds of situations where when something happened, when something went wrong, we just didn't have the ability to respond in the way that we wanted to respond. And we must begin to understand what we need in this regard. See, the first thing we need to think about is we need to think about wisdom then. See, we need to think about asking God, because God already said, if you desire something and you lack something, if you ask me, I will give it to you liberally. And so we went before the Father and said, I want to improve. I want to get better. I know I must admit, and I put myself out there. Growing up, you know, I had what they called a bad temper, a temper that would respond and react to conflict aggressively. And for a long time, that helped me out in sports, in being aggressive. And sports allowed me to get rid of a lot of that anger that was built up inside of me. And I thank God for sports. And I'm not the only one. I know there are many men and women who've been able to use sports to develop a level of gentleness. And perhaps sometimes you've seen an athlete, they go out and they commit a great performance. They go out and handle their business. And in handling their business, they're theoretically defeating another human being in that particular activity. And then once they come off the court, what do you see them doing? You see them being humble. You see them responding with gentleness. You see them giving great admiration for their opponents. And see, that's something that you learn over a lot of those athletes you may see who come and have that microphone. They didn't always have that ability to say those things. And what's beautiful about it is that over the process of time, they are truly able to internalize, and that becomes a genuine level of gentleness. Because now they can relate. They understand. They know what it feels like to experience the agony of defeat. They know what it feels like to get so close and yet not get there. And over the course of time, you find that many of those athletic competitors can indeed become friends because they can share some things together. And, of course, the more you win, the more you understand that, and then the more you can always share with others. But we need to sometimes think about this gentleness piece, because it's a beautiful thing. The quality of being kind and careful. I mean, sometimes we could even see in animals when they haven't been treated with gentleness and concern. They are so afraid. Even dogs that should have no level of fear, if they are beat up, if they're abused, and as they grow up, even though they could be ferocious, they have such fear in them that they are not able to respond when they need to respond. See, God wants us to be gentle always to others. Matthew 6:14-15 says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive the others of their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." A gentle heart comes from having love for others. Think about that for a moment. Sometimes we'll hear people say, "Oh, I just can't forget this and I can't forgive." And especially sometimes when they're talking about their own spouse, their own fiance. And see, right there, you've already missed the boat. Because God has already plainly said, how do you expect me to forgive you when the very person you say you love, the very person you can see, the very person you can touch, the very person, you know, you can hug or you can do all kinds of beautiful things with, you're not even speaking. You're not being kind. You're not being gentle. You're not doing those things that God has to do for you and me. See, in a way, if you think about it for a moment, when spouses come together as one, God gives them in that relationship the opportunity to be like God. I said, be like God in this sense. You have the ability to forgive your spouse. You have the ability to be gentle to your spouse. You have the ability to do all of those things that you know would be pleasing to God. And see, should you choose to respond another way, then that's on you. That's not on God, because God has already laid it out that it's conditional. You see, sometimes people will say, "Well, you know, I'll forgive them, but I won't forget it." Well, have you really forgiven them? Is that how you want God to deal with you? You want to ask God to forgive you? You want the slate to be wiped clean, and now you want him to be thinking about those other things or those things that you asked him to forgive you? You want him to keep those in mind, and you want him to bring those up every time you may stumble? See, part of what we do in marriage sometimes where we miss the boat is that we feel it's okay if we get into a discussion, we get into a disagreement, that we bring up everything that we may have disagreed with in the past. Well, no, that's not godly. That's not what you want God to do. You want God to keep track of everything. And see, so again, God gives us in that relationship specifically an opportunity to experience some of the same things that he himself will experience. Because gentleness is a strength. It's the strength of character. You know, it's seen in the handling of adversity with a calm, even-handedness. You know, it's seen as the soft nature of how people act when they are around other people. Now, let me tell you now, as the world in many ways see it, though, you know, being gentle, especially for a man, oftentimes this is unfortunate. The world see it as a weakness. It see it as, you know, you're not always in charge. Whereas, see, God wants us to be built the way he created us, able to achieve and able to deal with all forms of emotion. The words say he made them male and female made he them. And so there are elements in us that society has done everything it could to suppress. And that's why we have so many dysfunctional families. And that's why we have so many dysfunctional relationships, because the enemy has done everything he could to keep us from understanding who we are as true children of God. We're going to take a short pause and then come back and continue our dialogue. But, you know, we just want you to know and understand that it's all about finding that good, you know, that perfect will of God. It's not about being perfect, but it's about learning how to flow, learning how to do those things that God has already ordained for us to do. See, sometimes we just don't realize and don't understand just how much God has gifted us to do the things that we do. We're going to be right back. say when we think about sharing our lives with our spouse, sometimes we don't want to deal with some of the ugliness that may accompany that relationship. You know, we all fall short of the glory, but oneness develops a high level of gentleness. Because, see, once you begin to understand the true value of walking in unity and walking in oneness, you, over the course of time, will do everything you can to find a way to become more gentle in areas where you may suffer from dysfunction. Again, we can't fool ourselves, and we shouldn't try to hide that reality. You know, we've spoken in the past about the vetting process and the dating process and the selection process and all of that. But at the end of the day, during that whole process, you know, you find ways that will lead to feelings of peace, contentment. And see, gentleness, you know, it is a gift. And it's a gift to be able to respond and to deal with situations that, quite honestly, deserve to be dealt with differently. See, somebody say, you know, you can think of gentleness and kindness. We all know the story of Joseph and what happened when his brothers came to see him. And, you know, he was so overcome and overtaken with emotions that he literally just cried. And see, some may not see that as gentleness, but I see it as gentleness and tenderness all together. Because he had every right, if he so desired, to execute revenge or to execute an eye for an eye or tooth for a tooth. If he wanted to do that, he had every right. Yet we learn about gentleness and we learn about compassion when we see how Joseph responded to his brothers with love. Now, the same thing could be said oftentimes with our spouses, where one or the other could be, according to how the world looks at situations, could be 100% correct. Yet we're often given an opportunity to say, what are you going to do? You're going to respond like everyone else would? Are you going to find a way to say, you know, I'm going to look beyond that because I know and understand this is not my spouse. Something may be going on. They may be under pressure. They may be having some issues that I don't know about. And see, once again, we can seek wisdom and ask God in that situation. See, because again, according to James, you know, wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, then what? Gentle, is reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. See, wisdom is you and me knowing that I need and I must operate in gentleness. It's not about I've got to, you know, be the bully. I've got to take control. I must be in charge. Now, God gave the rightful alignment, and we know there are also situations where that alignment may change. But at the end of the day, how God wants us to deal with our spouse is not going to change. In Proverbs 15:1, it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Have you ever found yourself, even not intentionally, maybe you were really focused on something, you really were working on something, and your spouse came and said something to you, and you know, you first didn't hear him because you were focused. You were really focused on that task at hand, and he said something again, maybe a little louder, and that time you heard it, and you turn around, what is it? What's you? And you really did not mean to come across as being aggressive, but it did. And you didn't even mean it, but you were so focused, and here was your spouse, and instead of of in that turning of that instant, being able to instantaneously also respond. What is it? What is it, babe? What you need? I mean, all of us have had those moments. And it's in those moments that we have to learn that the other spouse don't respond to that, especially if you're going and your spouse is in a train of thought or they're working on something, they're doing something, and you can tell, you should be able to tell, they're giving it full attention. Then you may want to either find a way where you can break up their concentration, some kind of way to have a transition to where now you ask that and you probably may get a different response. And if you're the one that was so intense, then the lesson for you, a lesson for me, I know many times, is okay, I need to be less intense perhaps when my spouse comes and has need of me or is going to be asking me some kind of question. See, this gentleness is really serious. And for many of us, we also have to go back and understand what we had to learn, that over the course of time and based on the history of us and our ancestors, it was too often situations where we didn't see the best of role models. We didn't always see the best of role models because oftentimes our ancestors, our great-great-grandmothers and great-great-grandfathers and the sort, they didn't have the proper kind of models in how to treat each other. There was this spirit of manipulation that always took place, and there was always this spirit of distrust and mistrust. You know, what did that song that we played at the half hour, you know, two words, two phrases that jumped right out. Trust me. Trust me. Trust in me. Trust in me. And share my life. See, if we can't trust in each other, you can't get to genuine gentleness. And if you cannot get to that, there's no way you're going to share your life. You're going to maybe even be a theoretical successful marriage, but you still are not going to walk in that full oneness. You're not going to have that high level of oneness or that high level of gentleness because you still are not fully trusted. You still have apprehensions. You still wonder about this or about that. Can't happen then because you're not really sold out. You're still holding something back. You must be kind to one another and tender-hearted always. See, when we think about the concept again of wisdom, why is it that we are more willing to do what the world or to do what others say do than to do what almost any sacred scripture you read would tell you to do? And that's to be tender, to be kind-hearted, to be more good than bad. And so we got to begin to ask ourselves as spouses, that what do we do? Do we remind each other that what's going on in this world? You know, there's a scripture in Titus that talks about being subject to the rulers and to the authority, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, not to be contentious, to be gentle, showing all humility towards all men. And that's in general. Now, wouldn't that be even more powerful and effective if it was towards our spouse? I can tell you in all honesty, nothing grieves my spirit more than hearing a spouse, a man or a woman, literally dog out the other spouse. It really grieves my spirit. One thing I can tell you, and I'm happy for it to be a fact, is that there is nobody on this planet, nobody that I have ever gone to and complained about my spouse. You know, gone and just found somebody. So as we prepare to transition into how do we improve in our gentleness? What can we do differently? I want to just give you a couple of examples, a couple of things that we need to do, that we must do. First of all, we got to begin to understand that there is nothing more critical to your level of happiness and success, especially if you're married or want to be married, than to find that real proper level of gentleness. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. I always say speaking words and saying words is one thing. Implementing them is another. It takes extreme discipline to do so and to get it done. Because, see, all of us in this particular current dispensation, in this postmodern era, every human being wants to be, I won't say every, the majority of human beings appears to have a desire to be fully actualized. They want to be, you know, they want to see their whole potential be personified and to manifest. And that's great. And sometimes we'll see these people that seem to be able to do all of these things, all great and all at high levels. But here's something that I've discovered and we've discovered in life, is that it's very difficult to be a five-star, with five stars being the best in everything you do. You may be able to pull it off in different elements of your life and different elements of your marriage or elements of your marriage to be. But since you only have 24 hours in a day, it becomes critically important that you learn how to execute all of those things you want to do to the highest level of proficiency, level of gentleness possible. Now, here's why. The number one reason is for yourself. Because a lot of us, we blow a tire, or we blow a fuse, or we cause something dysfunctional to take place in our bodies because we are walking around with a lot of pent-up hostility. Who is it that may cause you to blow a gasket? Who is it that you find yourself thinking about too often about something that happened in the past? And that what happened in the past is causing you to be ugly and not to be kind and gentle in the present. So whoever and whatever that is, and see, in this world, it could be some of anybody. It could be a mother, it could be a father, a sister, brother, cousin, uncle, teacher, neighbor, friend, co-worker, boss. It could be a whole bunch of folks. But your anger now has turned into a level of bitterness. And so now you are having wrathful thoughts. You know, you're living a life of malice inside your spirit and in your mind, and you are constantly thinking bad and evil thoughts about this person. You can't get that one incident, that episode out of your mind, or those several, whatever it may be. Well, see, then you are hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. And conversely, you yourself, you may have committed a sin years ago, long time ago, last month, that doesn't matter. And you find it so difficult to forgive yourself. You condemn yourself over and over and over. Although you read that there is no condemnation to those who come to the Father, those who have embraced the philosophy of Christ. And so we condemn ourselves. We condemn someone else. We condemn ourselves. So we got a double whammy. And that's why so often, because of those lingering realities in our spirit and our consciousness, we find ourselves checking out of here too early. All of us would do good every day. Lord, I forgive. You know, if you can remember specifically by name, whoever that is, call it out. I forgive them. I forgive them. And if you think you have harmed somebody, just call them and ask them, please forgive me. I've gone through that a couple of times. And I can tell you sometimes the person say, yeah, you did, and I forgive you because I remember. And sometimes they've said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And then other times, you know, they say, I'm glad because it's a mixed bag, at least it's been mine. But I encourage you, it may be eye-opening. It may be spiritual enlightenment if you really take the time and do that. You see, one of the things that we should always give consideration to is that anything that's going to cause us to hold animosity, anything that's going to cause us to hold grudges, anything whatsoever, we need to leave them alone. So when we think about our mate, our spouse, what are some of the times that we need to have a level of gentleness? Well, basically, what, how about this? Achievements. Anything that is achieved or anything that they thought they should have achieved but did not. We've got to have a level of gentleness in that. Because sometimes we want to do something and we fail. Or we have a temporary setback. And that temporary setback can cause some kind of emotional detachment. It can cause some emotional pain. And as a spouse, we still need to be there. We still need to be that cheerleader. The number one thing that I've shared with many, many ladies over these past few years has been the fact in telling them, your husband needs you to be his greatest cheerleader. He needs you to be in his corner when it appears like no one else is. Then the other piece is changing life realities and conditions. We age, we evolve. You know, something happens to our body, something happens to our capabilities to do things, and that comes with a host of emotions. We must be gentle. We must learn to pursue more asking questions. One of the other setbacks that we see in marriages is the fact that the husband and the wife does not take time to ask each other questions, and instead they will come to conclusions about their spouse that could be 100% erroneous. A spouse could be going through some kind of emotional change or some kind, or have some kind of emotional baggage or whatever, and they need to have love and they need to have compassion and they need to just have somebody they can emote to. And when we then want to respond and we don't want to even ask questions and we want to come to our own conclusions, or we want to go and ask a friend who don't have a clue as to what you're talking about either, and now you both get an agreement that your spouse is jacked up and all of that. Look at all the demonic activity you just put to work. Can't do that. No corrupt communication can proceed out of your mouth when it comes to your spouse. And last but not least, you got to understand that when you come together, even after being together for a number of years, we got to continue to realize, know, and to understand that all of us have a specific purpose in life. And all of us have been called to do a specific thing. And even though we now are called into this relationship called marriage, this relationship of oneness consistent with what God said in Genesis 2:24, to get there, you must develop a high level of gentleness. You must probe and understand, how did your life and the reality of your life, did you ever have any levels of abuse or anything that was unfair that would cause you to look at another person not objectively, to where your own background, your own history might cause you to damage a relationship directly or indirectly. And then by all means, vet your spouse before marriage and after marriage. Ask questions. And spouse and or spouse-to-be, I'll say to you, if you don't enjoy being asked questions, or if asked questions about who you are and what you have done cause you a level of discomfort, then you need to figure that out and you need to get delivered from that. Because one thing I can tell you that helps almost every marriage that we have ever known, it's been the ability of those involved to be fully transparent. And I don't have time to go into the story here, but I remember teaching a class once on spiritual warfare. And the young lady was saying everything was great and she had never had an issue. And after seeing all of these people go up and share a situation in their life where they were not fully truthful and how God brought them back to it and how they reconciled it, after all of that, she finally came up and got delivered. And the Spirit of God filled so much in that classroom, and everybody began to pray, and everybody began to rebuke and release. It was a real deliverance experience. And, you know, yeah, that's part of our background, deliverance ministry, to where consistent with that Luke 4:18-19. That's what the ministry of the Christ is all about, is bringing deliverance to those who are captive in the mind, in the spirit, in the physical, in the whatever. And the number one key when you go through all of that is developing that level of gentleness, because that gentleness will also make you more receptive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is gentle. It's not loud. It's not banging. It's gentle. And to hear the voice of God, you got to quiet yourself down. Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We pray tonight, Father, that your word has gone out. It will not return void. It will accomplish what it's been sent to do. We thank you for all of those who dialed in live and all of those, Father, who are listening in the archives. We pray that you would bless them warmly and richly. We also pray for our minister, Leah Killens, who will be coming on at 9 o'clock tonight. I want to remind all of our listeners to dial back in at 9 o'clock to hear the ministry gifts of our sister, Minister Leah Killens. Praise God, and we thank God. And we say, go out. Be gentle to someone. Give someone a hug. Give someone a kiss. Tell them you love them. And by all means, be gentle in the process. Until next week, God bless you all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We thank God for all you do. God bless you.
Agape love.